Welcome to another episode of The Slow Good Life, where we talk about the life that we live and the life that we aspire to live right here in San Luis Obispo. And I got some exciting guests in the studio with me today. I'm your host, James Davis, and with us today we have Michael Jenks and Stacy Hunt. Tongue twisted from the get-go. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, James. Thanks for having us.
We're doing well.
Yeah, it's good to have you on this afternoon here in California, Slowtown, California. And we're talking about the slow good life. And I know you guys both enjoy the slow good life. And let me just ask you to start off. How did you get briefly to San Luis Obispo? Were you born and raised here, or were you a transplant?
My family and I fled Fresno in 1996, and we've been here ever since.
Fred Fresno. It sounds like a country western song.
I fled Fresno.
I fled Fresno. Yeah. How about you, Mike?
I came down to work on a memorial project for some friends in 1989, and never left.
Wow. Wow. Different reasons, but a very clear purpose to stay here. What are the things about this place that you love so much?
Just how friendly people are, the beautiful environment. You know, Fresno is pretty much cemented in. So being able to walk to the edge of town. I live in Los Osos. I can see the edge of town from my house. I love that. And just that many less people, no pollution, don't have to lock my car doors. It's just great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I concur, but the sense of community, the involvement, the ability to be involved in a college campus or one of several college campuses, actually, also adds an important dimension.
For our listeners, Mike, now I know this, but they may not know it. You actually are a professor at Cal Poly University.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you teach? What department?
I teach a series of basically law-related courses in natural resources, including water law, environmental law, and occasionally I get to teach things on... for example, right now, one of the more popular courses I teach is called Human Dimensions of Natural Resource Management.
Now, folks can look this up online. They can go to the Cal Poly website and get some more details, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm an adjunct instructor at Cuesta College.
I'm really glad I didn't try to put those words in my mouth and had you say an adjunct professor at Cuesta College. And Stacy, what areas do you teach in?
In the Paralegal Studies program.
And you've also been employed in that field.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, 35 years.
That's quite a chunk of time.
Yep,
as
love
they
the
say.
Law.
I love the law. You know, those both institutions are fascinating to me, both integral parts of our community, not only for people that live here, but people that come to study here, and also the professors, the staff, the faculty, really good connecting points. And speaking of connecting points, I would be remiss unless I delved in to an organization you guys represent. I've long been aware, I've done some fundraising for Ecologistics, and I want our listeners to know a little bit about what Ecologistics is and how it got started.
Well, it kind of had its roots in around 2009 or so. My aunt, who was a resident of Los Osos with us, had long been going to the Bioneers Conference up in Marin County. And she finally talked Mike and I into going in 2008, and then in 2009 we went again. And we decided that this information was so important, we needed somehow to bring it back to our local community. We thought that the San Luis Obispo area would really benefit from the information that Bioneers had. And so we looked into ways of maybe raising money to send our supervisors or city council members, or get them up to Bioneers to experience that whole community up there. It's a 3-day conference every October. And then we found out that they had a program where you could be licensed to be a local site to show the Bioneers Conference, sort of like the same thing TED and TEDx has. Yeah. And so that's when we started looking into that.
Now, folks could go to the website. Let's early on in the program, because a lot of people are listening on devices, tablets. They can look right now. What is the website for Ecologistics?
Just good old ecologistics.org.
.org. And then, now, you've introduced a term that some of our listeners may or may not be familiar with, Bioneers. What, give us a nickel's worth of what that's about, Mike.
Well, Bioneers is a approximately 25 or 27-year-old organization. It's actually based in New Mexico, the headquarters. But for many years, it's been they've been sponsoring an annual conference in Marin County and bringing top speakers there. And it's instead of being a not a hard sales pitch, but they bring people who are innovative and looking sort of at how nature might solve some of our problems. And that's what happens at the Marin Bioneers Conference every year. And one of the things we were looking at bringing here in terms of the Bioneers experience.
So you both attended the conference up in 2009 in Marin?
In 2008 and
2009. In 2008 and 2009. And initially you thought, let's get some people there. And then it shifted to, we can be a representation of that outreach, of that action, of those opportunities here locally. And was that the start of Ecologistics?
Right.
It was. And it, against the background, I think what moved me is almost every time we went to Bioneers, certainly those first time, several years, there'd often be city council member or a supervisor from Marin that came and awarded Bioneers a plaque or recognition under the idea that Marin had been helped and really encouraged to grow or develop in accordance with a lot of the ideas Bioneers brought to their community. And I just sort of thought that was great. You know, we need that input here.
It's a wonderful place, but it can always be made better. And with the idea that everything can be improved with ideas we learn from nature and with science, and they look at social issues, Bioneers does. And there's a local Bioneers radio show that's played on KCBX. Right now it's every Monday at 1. It moves around, but right now it's Mondays at 1.
Oh, that's interesting. For our listeners, they can check that out. KCBX, check the calendar out there, a Bioneers radio show weekly. Have you been guests on that program?
No, what they do is they take the national speakers that speak at that 3-day conference and then distill those down to half-hour episodes.
Oh, that's excellent.
Through the year.
Now, my mind quickly wanders to history and now, and although we're not going to get into specific supervisors, is there any history of involvement on the part of supervisors or local public officials?
Any involvement with Bioneers or
with
our
local?
Local, yeah, with Ecologistics specifically, maybe expanded to Bioneers.
We've tried and had some luck. We've had some faculty, in fact, a department chair at Cal Poly came to our first Bioneers. And we've finally had some attendance at some of our later Bioneers programs.
John, who was the city council member, John?
Oh, yeah. We had one in particular. In fact, one of our programs at the Vets Hall, we had, I think that was the only time a county supervisor actually came.
Okay.
To our program. It's been one of our disappointments. Our first Bioneers program, our first Ecologistics first Bioneers program in the community was at Cal Poly. and we tried very hard to involve both the Cal Poly community and the town. It was a good start, but we were disappointed. We didn't get more people from the city, from the county.
When was that, Mike?
2010.
So we've gotten some water to the bridge, and now locally there's not getting into political candidates, but just roles of individuals in our community, appointed and elected officials. We have a mayor in San Luis Obispo that's very involved in zero waste, being a zero waste city. So to me, that's
a totally binary thing.
See? And so there is some examples of people involved. We certainly would like to see, I'm hearing, more involvement. But are you still involved? I know you teach at the university, but ecologistics, is there still some sort of an engagement and outreach there at Cal Poly, Mike?
Yes, we have. We had, for the last 2 years, have had a Cal, they've had Earth Week at Cal Poly, and we've had Bioneers events at both of those Earth Weeks.
Oh, okay.
Right, and we continue. We've had several projects where we have involved Cal Poly academic staff and students in working on them, particularly some of the, our projects dealing with the Salinas River, some of those continue to this day.
And one we're trying to push most recently, one of the Bioneer speakers about 2 years ago was on a concept called 3D ocean farming, where they actually farm different types of mollusks and fish and seaweed and other ocean projects in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And they are looking for piers off the California coast to start some. Right now they're all on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking for piers out in California along the West Coast to start something like that. And so they're looking at the Goleta Pier. And then I've got a professor at Cal Poly who's interested in maybe getting something going off the Cal Poly Pier. So that's my big hope.
Now, this is exciting. I guess I jumped ahead here a little bit because I'm certainly interested when we talk about the slow good life, you know, what's happening in that realm. But backing up a bit, when people started getting involved in the nonprofit, 2010, 11, 12, is there, and is there some sort of a membership process or some sort of a formal, hey, I want to be part of this, or is it just based on attendance at events?
Yeah, it's just attendance at events. We're not a membership organization.
Okay.
But we have events, not just the annual conference. We have things year-round that people can get involved in. We have an e-newsletter they can subscribe to on our website that keeps
they
them informed.
Go to the website and sign up and then get the information. You're also on some of the social media channels. Would you mention a few of those, Stacy or Michael? Facebook,
Twitter. And you're going to teach us about Instagram,
There we go. We got an Instagram commitment right there recorded. So I'm bound and duty-bound to do that. No, I'd absolutely love to help with that. And because I just think that's a way to engage people, not just a newsletter, but social media. And I find it's kind of interesting how people are on different channels. And so we'll have to get an Instagram account started. So the organization has a current board of directors?
That's correct.
Okay. And if somebody has interest and says, my gosh, I did not know about this group. I didn't know there was something like this in the county, and they're hearing this podcast. What's the best way besides going to the website? Is there a phone number or an email address that they should call?
Yep, they can call 805-548-0597. That's our phone number, and leave a message there. And they can always email me at Stacey, Stacey, at ecologistics.org.
All right. Now, what would you say has been the biggest changes of the local organization in the last 6, 7, 8 years, some of the adjustments that you've seen?
In our organization?
Yeah, the Ecologistics Group as a local community grassroots group.
I would guess that we launched our incubating activism program about 4 or 5 years ago, where we've started doing fiscal sponsorship of local organizations. And that is a kind of an IRS concept where the organization is some kind of nonprofit is not yet has not gotten their tax exempt, not their tax exempt status, but their charitable status. Mm-hmm. So people, if they want to donate to them, they don't get the tax write off. Mm. So what we do is we sort of adopt them if they're within our our corporate purposes and it's a mission that we would be interested in supporting, mm-hmm. we can enter into an agreement with them so that people who support that organization make the donations to us. They get the tax write-off, and then we give the money to the organization to carry out their purpose.
This is fascinating because, as we know, there are a number, and when I say number, 1,500 nonprofit organizations. So what I'm hearing, in essence, rather than recreate the wheel, a group that may not need all the infrastructure can work through your organization to get that service done. Can you let our listeners know, Michael and Stacy, some of the groups that are currently involved in that type of a relationship with Ecologistics?
Yes, we have. We were just counting them up today. We have about 20 organizations right now.
All locally based?
All but one are locally based. Okay. One is based up in Anacortes, Washington. The rest are all local. We have Biodiversity First, the Carrizo Colloquium. Mm. We have the Central Coast Coalition for Undocumented Student Success. Four Elements Organics, Economics of Being a Woman, One Global Democracy. We have the Paso Food Co-op that's trying to get a food co-op going in Paso Robles. We have the Peace Academy of the Arts and Science, a new school, K through 12 school. We have Protect Scenic 101, the group that's trying to get the billboards off of the Highway 101 corridor. Mm. Slow Clean Water Action, which is trying to work on stopping fracking in oil wells. The Slow Guild Hall, an organization called Race Matters, the Peace Project, which is trying to get a building built to house these lovely sculptures of monks, the Upper Salinas Las Tablas Resource Conservation District, and Brittany App, who is trying to get a film together, and not trying, she is getting this film together, it's almost finished, called Where There Once Was Water. And then groups that we have sponsored in the past that have graduated, they've gotten their 501c3 and they're off and running, are the Carrizo Plain Conservancy, Homeshare Slow, and Poly Canyon Ventures.
Wow, that's quite a diverse range of different organizations all engaged, involved. When you say if it fits with the mission, could you go back and talk a little bit about the mission of Ecologistics for our listeners, clarify that a little bit, and then how these groups would fit into that?
Basically, it's creating a more sustainable living existence for the people of San Luis Obispo County. So sustainability could be environmentally sustainable, but it also means socially sustainable.
Those are key concepts. Now, for our listeners that go check out the website, Stacy, what are they going to find? What type of information? Historically, some of the things you've done, your conferences and meetings and things?
Yeah, we have up programs from past conferences. We have we had a huge deep ecology collaboratory in 2016, so information about that is up there. Information about our Central Coast Bioneers conferences is up there. And then our Dreaming the Salinas program, which is another important initiative that Michael actually started back in 2011 when he became really aware of all the issues happening with the Salinas River.
And now your different meetings and events, are they mostly held in San Luis Obispo proper, or do some of them take place in North County, South County?
But I think it's fair to say most of them are in San Luis Obispo County. There's some, for example, our work on the Salinas River. We often meet with our cohorts in Monterey County at midpoints like King City and whatever that are actually not in San Luis County. But
And we had our Salinas River Symposium in Paso Robles.
Oh, okay. Okay. Get back.
Okay.
We're talking to Michael Jenks and Stacy Hunt of Ecologistics or Ecologistics. I got to make sure I say the name right. And we were talking about Dreaming the Salinas River project and your organization's involvement. Can you talk a little bit more about that for our listeners, Michael and Stacy?
Yeah, I'd be delighted. It's one of our earlier projects. We've had we've featured programming on the Salinas River at all of our conferences since 2010, Stacy, and it is it's been a very important part of what we're of what we're doing. The Salinas is a fascinating river. It's about 154 miles long, but it only runs in two counties, and it runs south to north. Everyone thinks it's upside down, but it is a seriously impaired water body, and one of the worst in the state. And so we've been working to sort of try to move the status of that river up from being fairly mistreated, and it runs through some poor parts of towns and whatever, but it's really run like two rivers, a northern piece that Monterey administers and a southern piece that is ours, that's ended up resulting in the disparagement of a lot of the wildlife and water values, so we started featuring a major piece of or using a part of our conferences to bring scientists and others to talk about it. And it's been a very colorful period. We've had some interesting, friction between some of the factions. One time we even had to have some extra security brought in, but we've kept the conversation going. Mm-hmm. And it's really working where then we sort of went from that annual involvement, and we also did a very successful field trip there for one of our conferences.
Yeah, to the Elkhorn Slough at the end of the Salinas River. And then in 2016, we decided to do a conference just on the Salinas River. So we did that up in Paso Robles for a one-day conference, and I was so pleased. We had the most universities, agencies, and nonprofits put under one roof to discuss the Salinas River that had ever been brought together before.
And this was a group of people from at least both counties also?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Significant, because the river runs through both counties.
Right.
And we're trying to address issues with the river that are fairly important and critical to get everybody talking. So this actual conference facilitated that communication that has been enhanced and exists to this day in a better fashion.
That's right. And we've also been able to so we ended up, after that conference, we put together a Salinas River working group that ended up meeting for a while, almost monthly. I chaired those meetings, and it was the first time that the two counties regularly participated in a forum to talk about the river. And it really, it didn't always seem like it at the time, but it really did help move the parties together, and I think bring a focus on the river that is now beginning to sort of feed on itself and grow in terms of what the potential for this magnificent river is.
People don't see it. They don't know a lot about it. And so they may not think that it's important, but that is so far from the truth. Just because you see it, just because you don't see it, you don't think you're affected by it, your day-to-day life. But there's some critical issues, and the drought has made some of those issues even more critical.
Yeah, it's so sad. A friend of mine who moved here not too long ago says, there's a river here. I mean, every time she drives over it on the 101, it always looks dry. She didn't even know there was a river down there.
Wow. And I know we had some increased rain in March, but that was a drop in the bucket compared to what we really need. And the long-term trend has been really, really dry. I mean, historically, very dry.
And there's some political issues that, it's the drinking water supply for the city, so they don't want to let out the water that they're supposed to be letting out to keep the salmon running uphill. They want to hold it for the drinking water for the people. So there's a, environmental versus social aspect to it.
So for our listeners, the website again, Michael.
Ecologistics.org.
Okay.
And we have a whole section on there just on we call it the Dreaming the Salinas Project, that summarizes a lot of our programming and a lot of our current activities.
Because this really makes me curious when I hear about these issues.
Yeah. We even have a separate website for it's dreamingthesalinas.org, and there you can sign up for a newsletter just on Salinas River issues.
I want to go back a little bit for our listeners. It's fascinating to me that your organization serves, trying to find the right terminology that you used, for lack of a better term, a clearinghouse or a pass-through for funds. I think our listeners would be interested in hearing how that's structured, how somebody could get some more information on that. Would you guys go over those details a little bit more clearly for me and the listeners?
Well, the basic vehicle of the fiscal sponsorship and the approximately 20 organizations that currently are part of our team is that those people can come in, and whether they are even incorporated or not, operate essentially under our licenses, including our 501c3 from the IRS, and so they don't have to have the delay or spend the money or time to finish organizing and setting up as a formal corporation otherwise the time it takes to set up. Yeah. They can start fundraising for their programming directly using our information, and that's what most of the 20 organizations we now have.
They can apply for grants under our name.
Oh, that's available also.
Right.
That's fascinating. And is there, I'm looking here at the website, is there some information on those type of opportunities on the website?
Yeah, it's called Incubating Activism.
Got it, the last tab.
And it talks about what sponsorship looks like. It has a list of all our sponsored organizations. It has some testimonials. And then we set up for people to get online donations through our website that then goes into the pot that we hold for the sponsored organizations.
3 to 5 years in this county, some of the bigger issues that you would like to communicate and focus attention on? That may be a loaded question, maybe too much for 5 minutes, but maybe a good start.
Well, part of the slow good life is how beautiful the environment is here, and it's important that we preserve it. Whether it's on land or at sea, I know Sierra Club is trying to get a marine sanctuary put in off our coast so that we can protect against oil drilling. And so we try to bring attention to all those efforts, and people should be paying attention. I know it's sometimes you get distracted by what's happening nationally, but we need to stay focused on what's happening locally.
Mm-hmm. Michael, anything to add to that?
No, I mean, I think we're lucky in a sense. We have some fascinating challenges, not the least of which is the Diablo retirement and looking at that resource, but also some of the risks and dangers that we need to address to be able to use that property in the future.
Yeah.
So I think the more we can involve, especially given the sense that power plant, for example, has been sort of this federally regulated entity that hasn't been really resident here in a lot of ways in terms of, now is looking for and asking for help and trying to decide the future of the property is an exciting challenge.
And there is an ongoing group that's meeting, looking for engagement. Where would you send people? Is there information on the Ecologistics website? No.
No.
No, there isn't.
There are a lot of groups represented in the 20 or so people that are on that panel.
Gotcha.
They're voices from Cal Poly, Mothers for Peace is active. So I think there is a website, but it may just be a PG&E power plant website that identifies the members of that panel. They're meeting several times a month right now. There's some real issues about storage of radioactivity for the future, for the midterm future, among other things, use of the property. So that's a very interesting involvement. We have not been, Ecologistics has not been very involved directly, but we certainly support the effort to plan for the future.
It sounds like with some of the initiatives that you've already got going on, your plate is quite full. You're obviously looking for more people involved, and folks can go ahead and sign up for the newsletter on the website.
Mm-hmm.
They can like the page on Facebook. follow you on Twitter, and soon to come Instagram account for ecologistics.
That's right.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. And Morro Bay, I can't help but think about the three remaining smokestacks in Morro Bay and a plant that was shut down, and they're trying to find what to do with those smokestacks, where the money's going to come from. To me, that's an important issue, but that kind of pales compared to Diablo and the impact and the footprint of the nuclear waste, the reactors, all those issues. So those are important issues to look into.
Yeah, I think that, excuse me, the issues with the Morro Bay power plant site are important too.
Yeah.
There is, there's some pollution there that may have to get taken care of, but that needs public attention, and, mm-hmm. and I'm sure I hope we'll have many people in our community who are interested enough to take a hand and effort at improving that situation.
I think they were going to do a wind turbine power or a wave power thing offshore. It looked or sounded like a pretty good project, and I think the Navy stepped in and said, oh, no, we control that territory. So right now they're trying to replace some of that energy that was generated by the power plant to benefit local communities and beyond in California, and we need clean energy, sustainable resources, and yet the Navy has stepped in. I don't know if you guys have heard anything about that, and kind of said, this is our territory. You can't do that. So there's another struggle with the federal government, the military, and some local authorities. We'll have to see.
One of the big pushes we're trying to get here is community choice energy. We've been trying to get that done for years. So the city council, I think, is going to go forward with it. And Morro Bay is interested. We can't seem to get the county interested yet. So,
but that's a good example of how we've tried to work here. So we ended up at one of our conferences bringing some of the top experts from all around the state here to talk about that and try to sort of
jumpstart
that whole effort. And it took, you know, and the people that came were able to have some private meetings with the various groups that are interested. And it's a very important initiative to try to get community choice implemented here.
Well, you've been listening to another episode of The Slow Good Life. Our guest on this episode is Michael Jenks and Stacy Hunt. And they are the founders and board members of ecologistics.org. And check them out on the web and also on Facebook, Twitter, soon to come on Instagram. This episode is sponsored by, in part, ecologistics.org and Festival After Dark, shining the light on community good. Check them out on the web, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, James Davis, and we're going to see you next time.